Hi, I'm Marshall, co-host of Androids and Assets, here on assignment at Worldcon. I'm lucky enough to speak with Annalie Newitz.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I think the first question I've been asking people is just tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do.
I am a science fiction writer and a science journalist, and I write a lot about both technologies of the future and science and how it will sort of change our culture, but also I'm really interested in the past, and so a lot of my journalism, my nonfiction, is about archaeology and sort of what we know about past civilizations, which definitely informs my understanding of the future in my fiction writing.
Yeah, absolutely, it definitely would. I mean, seeing how these people have changed and what technology they had and what they could do with it.
And how much culture changes and how you can have, you know, within a few hundred years, a completely different culture that looks alien to the past culture is, to me, really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So on our podcast, we talk about economics and politics in speculative fiction, mostly science fiction, but some fantasy as well. And sort of how people, what people put in stories that is either deliberate to say, here's something that I notice and I want to comment on, and also often things that people put in stories that is sort of unintentional, their own biases that are just written into stories. So is there something in science fiction that you've read that has changed how you viewed society, that it kind of opened your eyes to something that you hadn't thought of before?
A lot. I mean, I think that science fiction is... part of why I became, it's definitely part of why I became a writer. It's why I became interested in science. And I think that at different times in my life, there have been different works that really changed how I saw things. One thing I could mention is that I went through a long period where I wasn't reading science fiction. I went to grad school and I was trying to be very serious. And I kind of avoided science fiction. And I went over to a friend's house. And he was watching Star Trek, the new Star Trek, The Next Generation. I had never been a huge fan of original Star Trek. And it was the third season, and it was great. And it actually did make me think a lot about economic issues. That was one of the things that really brought me into it, was that even though it's a post-scarcity society in Next Generation, we still see many, many civilizations struggling with money, with class issues, with divisions caused by having access to resources. And it's a huge moral question for the people on the Enterprise. They're constantly asking themselves about the prime directive, which is this question about whether you should intervene in another culture. And it's really, the prime directive is intended to prevent colonial conquest. It's sort of something that's been set in place as an anti-imperialist measure. But of course, it never really works that way. But
no.
I loved being able to see a show that was grappling with that question, because colonial economics have shaped our world so much. And
yes,
we're still reeling from the after effects. And so that really changed. It changed the way I saw how economics could be brought into fiction and made really fun and accessible and engaging, and at the same time kind of force you to think about how civilization today is handling resource allocation. So
yeah,
that was a really great moment for me in the 90s.
For sure. No, I really love that. I haven't really thought of Star Trek as sort of just addressing like colonial economics like that.
Well, especially Deep Space Nine is explicitly about a post-colonial period. And so that got even more into those questions. But yeah, I mean, Next Generation, like, they're trying hard not to be imperialists and failing a lot, but
failing
like,
a
also
lot.
Succeeding sometimes.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I love Star Trek, but the post-scarcity sort of system that they have set up seems... It's only... To me, it's always sort of like a surface-level thing of like, oh yeah, we have post-scarcity, so like we don't have money, but then they exchange all sorts of other things in place of, and but in terms of just sort of saying, well, it's post-scarcity and that's why we don't need to be colonial powers, it works really well to address a single problem. And I mean it creates other problems and they don't always address that, but
yeah, and sometimes they do, and like I said, it's very thorny. You know, that's one of the things that's kind of delightful about the show is that we see all of these failure modes where they're kind of falling back into, even falling back into money, because that's why we have the Ferengi, is to be there to, you know, be fetishizing money and fetishizing commodities, as we all do under capitalism. So, I think that's a really... That was a turning point.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're writing your own books, like in Autonomous, it seems that it felt at least that you put a lot of thought into sort of what economic system we'd be operating under. It almost feels like free trade agreements like gone wild.
Yes. I mean, and in fact, I explicitly set out to do kind of a thought experiment about what would happen if essentially the UN were replaced by this thing that I call the International Property Coalition. And so it manages property rights globally rather than managing human rights, because human rights and property rights have become kind of indistinguishable. And this comes out of actually work that I did when I was an academic. I did my dissertation on representations of economics in monster stories and science fiction. You can get it at Duke University Press. Tens of people have read this document. But I was really interested in my doctoral research. I was thinking a lot about how property kind of invades our consciousness, and especially if you're the kind of worker that you're going to see a lot of in the future, who's doing mental labor or psychological labor, caretaking labor, how really what's happening is that your brain itself is becoming kind of a commodity. And what does that feel like? And a lot of us know what it feels like. It feels really fucking horrible. And it feels like you're going insane sometimes, because you're having to think thoughts that you don't want to think. Mm-hmm. You're having to engage in mental tasks that are degrading and horrifying. And I mean, just imagine like the mental labor of someone who's dealing with abuse at Facebook, right? Like that's the kind of stuff that that really keeps me awake at night. And so in Autonomous, I wanted to think about that. Like, what does it mean to have a brain that's literally a commodity, which is why I have an AI character who is, in fact, completely owned, and the contents of her mind are completely owned. She doesn't have the ability to prevent other people from reading her thoughts, because the company, the organization that owns her memories.
Yep.
And so that was part of what was animating my ideas. And of course, I did end up consulting with Noah Smith, who's an economist who writes for Bloomberg, about how I could construct an economy that kind of made sense around this central idea that I had, which was just like how much it hurts to have my thoughts commodified. And so he helped me come up with this idea of enfranchisement that I have in the book, where the reason why people are incentivized to become indentured servants is because they have to pay to live somewhere. They have to pay to live in a city. They have to pay to have a job in that city, to be educated in that city. And that was, that was just straight up economic world building that I had to do. And I was glad I had an economist looking over my shoulder telling me what was ridiculous and what wasn't. So I also learned that economists are really great dystopian world builders, like really like gets really dark. So that was super fun. And I really enjoy reading other writers who try to do the same thing. Like one of the writers that really brought me back into science fiction was Ken MacLeod, who does a lot of thinking about capitalism and how that's shaping our future. And he's an old school lefty, probably Marxist guy. I don't know if he identifies as a Marxist or a socialist, but so that's the kind of science fiction that I really love.
That's great. So do you have any recommendations for us of like what, you know, something good that you would say, oh, this is, you mentioned
Ken MacLeod.
Ian MacLeod?
Ken MacLeod.
Ken MacLeod.
I mean, Ian MacLeod, or there's Ian MacDonald.
Yes.
So there's many mix in this scenario. Ken MacLeod. Actually, Ian MacDonald is great. Ian M. Banks does some fun stuff with economics. Obviously, Charles Stross. I feel like there's this sort of constellation of like white dudes who are like associated with Scotland vaguely. thinking about this a lot. But also, I think, in the States, we have a lot of people now who are thinking about economics in more human terms, kind of the way I was in Autonomous, with thinking about indenture and thinking about lower caste people. N.K. Jemisin has these issues quite front and center in the Broken Earth trilogy. Mm-hmm. Octavia Butler deals with this a lot in her work, not just in her near future books, the Parable books. There's Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents, which are about an economic collapse in the United States and how deal with it. But she also deals with it in her Pattern Master series, which is also about kind of an economic takeover by psychics and other enhanced humans. Martha Wells's new series, which is the Murderbot series, about a robot who is, in fact, a cyborg who's owned by a corporation, is another fantastic look at sort of farther future economics and what it means to colonize space. And on that note, the Expanse series is a fantastic look at economics and space.
Yeah.
And it's all about class warfare, like from start to finish. There's even a leftist group that's kind of like revolutionary socialists who are asking for economic autonomy for people in the belt, in the asteroid belt. So that show, I think, is just the show and the books are just a rich source of thinking about economic change and struggle.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot. Sorry, I'm like, I could probably come up with 40,000 more. I'm just like, okay, what have I read recently?
I mean, it's everywhere.
You know, another really great one that I'm just reading now is Rivers Solomon's book. It's called An Unkindness of Ghosts. And she's here at Worldcon.
Exciting.
It's a generation ship story where over time the people on the ship develop a plantation-like system where they have slaves and they have slave owners, and that's how they run the economy on this generation ship. And it's so well imagined and just dark and kind of beautiful at the same time. So highly recommend that.
For sure. Have you gotten to read Omar El-Akkad's American War?
No, not yet. I've heard good things.
Yes, it's fantastic. I mean, and it sort of not on the periphery. It's premised on like economic collapse in the United States and fossil fuels being outlawed and what that does, particularly to the South and like a second civil war and
which feels very real right now.
Very real right now. Yes, absolutely. And it becomes very personal because it's a story about like how one person, and you just see through her life sort of how that impacts her and the outcomes for her. So, yeah. So, I mean, the economics, they're in almost every story, and it's nice to see when they're really like well thought out. And
yeah, I definitely think that we've gotten used to the idea that when we think about economics, it'll be more like a post-scarcity system. And now, I think because of the way the international scene is changing, and we're seeing the rise again of nationalism, and we're seeing really extremes of wealth and poverty, I think people are starting to go back to thinking about how colonial relations are going to come back and haunt us again. You know, I feel like we, at some point, maybe in the late 20th century, we were starting to feel, at least in the developed world, that's all behind us now. We've we're in post-colonialism and that's going to get better and everything will be fine. And now it really seems like we might be looking at another kind of civil war or another system of servitude where, people become commodities in a much more profound sense than they already are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your time.
For
I really appreciate this.
Thanks for geeking out about economics and sci-fi. That's my favorite.
Fantastic.